Hi, everyone. Welcome to Lab Medicine's podcast series. My name is Kelly Swales, and I'm the web editor at the Lab Medicine Journal. Today, I have with me Dr. Alex Thurman, and he's going to talk a little bit about finding a new acute leukemia in the middle of the night.
Hi, I'm Alex Thurman, and I'm a resident in pathology and laboratory medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. The purpose of this Lab Medicine podcast is to provide you with a concise yet comprehensive plan for dealing with a new acute leukemic blood smear in the middle of the night. Let me set the stage for you. It's 3 a.m., and you're on scope scan. You've been looking at peripheral smears for the last 40 minutes, when all of a sudden, you see blasts. Are they above 20%? You perform a 100-cell differential? Yeah, you're over 20% blasts. So you know immediately you've got an acute leukemic. So what do you do? How should you approach this situation? Well, acute leukemia isn't a diagnosis to be taken lightly, but if you remember three simple steps, you can efficiently and consistently provide excellent care for your patient. So let's start with step one. Step one is very important and frequently forgotten. Step one is to verify that this is a new acute leukemic for your laboratory. Sometimes in the heat of the moment, or more likely if the patient was just admitted during the previous shift, the fact that the patient is a known acute leukemic can get lost in the shuffle. So take a moment to look for any recently resulted smears, which also show blasts greater than 20%. There's no sense in sounding the alarm for nothing, right? So that's step one. Now on to step two, which is kind of a long one. So step two, you've confirm this is their first peripheral blood smear showing acute leukemia. So they're new, at least to our lab. So step two is when you have to ask yourself, all right, this is a new acute leukemic, but are there any modifiers? What do I mean by modifiers? By modifiers, I'm referring to any morphologic features that kick the diagnosis of acute leukemia into overdrive. Uber leukemia, leukemia-zilla. What I mean is that these morphologic features imply a set of particularly dangerous diagnoses. So there are two questions you need to ask yourself in step two. The first question is, could this be acute promyelocytic leukemia? As you know, acute promyelocytic leukemia is characterized by malignant cells with promyelocytic features. That's M3 morphology by the old French-American-British classification. And in particular, there are three features you want to watch out for. The first is an abundance or prominence of reddish, purplish primary granules in the cytoplasm of the malignant cells. The second feature goes along with the first, and that's multiple hour rods per malignant cell. How many is too many? Three is sort of the magic number, but you can see many, many more than that within the cytoplasm of just one cell. The third feature is nuclear bilobation. The nuclei of malignant promyelocytes are often called butterfly-shaped, or less politely, butt-shaped. To me, they just look like a nucleus with two lobes connected by a little isthmus of nucleus, but butt cells works too, I guess. Okay, so you're looking at these cells, and they don't have prominent primary granules. They certainly don't have any hour rods, so you're off the hook, right? No way this could be acute promyelocytic leukemia. Wrong. This could totally be acute promyelocytic leukemia as long as the malignant cells have bilobed nuclei. This is super important to remember, and so I'm going to repeat it again. Bilobed nuclei by themselves are enough to raise suspicion for the so-called microgranular variant of acute promyelocytic leukemia, which, by definition, has indistinct cytoplasmic granules and no hour rods. So why do I, my fellow pathologists, and my buddies, the clinical hematologists, care so much about this diagnosis? Why do we care about acute promyelocytic leukemia? Well, for one thing, a patient with acute promyelocytic leukemia is at exquisitely high risk for a complication called disseminated intravascular coagulation. I won't go into too much detail, but suffice it to say that this is a very severe and very deadly condition characterized by simultaneous bleeding and intravascular thrombosis. The other reason we care so much is because acute promyelocytic leukemia has a specific treatment called all-trans retinoic acid, which needs to be given as soon as the diagnosis is suspected. Okay, so that was a lot about acute promyelocytic leukemia, which is the first of the two important questions to ask yourself in step two. The second is, could this be circulating Burkitt lymphoma? Wait, why should you or me or anyone care about circulating Burkitt lymphoma? Well, it turns out that patients with circulating Burkitt lymphoma are at especially high risk for another complication called tumor lysis syndrome. So again, I won't go into too much detail about what this is, other than to say that this is a severe complication of hematologic malignancies that have a high rate of cell turnover. Well, circulating Burkitt lymphoma is sort of the prototypical example of such a malignancy, and it classically exhibits what's called an L3 morphology. Again, this is according to the old French-American-British classification. Specifically, circulating Burkitt lymphoma is characterized by large malignant cells of somewhat variable size with moderately abundant vacuolated blue cytoplasm. So definitely be on the lookout for these as well. So quickly, just to recap, step two involves asking yourself two questions. One, could this be acute promyelocytic leukemia? And two, could this be circulating Burkitt lymphoma? Now, step three. Finally, the last step. Step three is all about the patient. Step three is about making sure that everyone is involved that should be involved. Policy differs from lab to lab, so what I say next may or may not apply to your specific situation. But regardless of lab policy, the spirit of step three is the same. So in some laboratories, including UCSF, policy is to contact the pathologist on call for any new acute leukemic. And in such cases, it is appropriate that you communicate any pertinent morphologic features, as outlined in step two, to the pathologist. The presence or absence of any features suggestive of M3 or L3 morphology is obviously of critical importance. Now, in other laboratories, policy might be to call critical values like this directly to the clinician without necessarily getting in touch with the pathologist on call. And in this sort of situation, be aware of whom you're calling. Say, if you're talking to a clinical hematologist, that's great. They're exactly who you want to be on the phone with a patient like this. But on the other hand, if you're talking to someone in the emergency department, if that's where you're calling this result to, you'll want to strongly consider giving the pathologist on call a page. You know, if nothing more than to ensure that a clinical hematology consult is obtained as soon as possible. So that's it. That's all three steps. And the last thing I want to make you aware of is something I'm going to call step zero. While step two was all about the smear, and step three was all about the patient, step zero is all about you. Step zero is about your level of comfort. And in short, never result in acute leukemia without feeling comfortable with your diagnosis. When in doubt, don't hesitate to have a fellow technologist, a supervisor, or the on-call pathologist review your findings. Remember, the greatest gift we can give our patients is an accurate diagnosis. You know, and that's what I mean by step zero. Feel comfortable. So, to summarize, when you have a new acute leukemic smear in the middle of the night, there are three steps you need to take. Step one, confirm that they are indeed a new acute leukemic. Step two, determine if there are any high-risk features, specifically M3 or L3 morphology. Step three, get people involved. And of course, don't forget step zero. Don't result anything you're uncomfortable resulting. I hope this was helpful. Thanks for listening. And good luck out there.